From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Prospect of Imminent Blessing, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, written by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. It is ever the Holy Spirit's work to turn our eyes away from self to Jesus. But Satan's work is just the opposite of this, for he is constantly trying to make us regard ourselves instead of Christ. He insinuates, "Your sins are too great for pardon. You have no faith. You do not repent enough. You will never be able to continue to the end. You have not the joy of His children. You have such a wavering hold of Jesus." All these are thoughts about self, and we shall never find comfort or assurance by looking within. But the Holy Spirit turns our eyes entirely away from self. He tells us that we are nothing, but that Christ is all in all. Remember, therefore, it is not thy hold of Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not even faith in Christ, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merits. Therefore, look not so much to thy hand with which thou art grasping Christ as to Christ. Look not to thy hope, but to Jesus, the source of thy hope. Look not to thy faith, but to Jesus, the author and finisher of thy faith. We shall never find happiness by looking at our prayers, our doings, or our feelings. It is what Jesus is, not what we are, that gives rest to the soul. If we would at once overcome Satan and have peace with God, it must be by looking unto Jesus. Keep thine eyes simply on Him. Let His death, His sufferings, His merits, His glories, His intercession be fresh upon thy mind. When thou wakest in the morning, look to Him. When thou liest down at night, look to Him. Oh, let not thy hopes or fears come between thee and Jesus. Follow hard after Him, and He will never fail thee. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Precious blood must be.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Thank you. As commander of the host of Israel, Joshua needed to be prepared spiritually as well as militarily for the battles that lay ahead. In the opening chapter of the book of Joshua, God provided him with the inspiration he needed and instructed him to remember a number of important truths. As Israel had to prepare for the battles, so believers in Jesus Christ must prepare for their spiritual conflicts. This involves daily feeding on God's Word. The passage of the Jordan is a type of death. So Christians are united to Christ in His death and are prepared to face the ultimate enemy. God promised the victory, but each Israelite was responsible to do his duty in the fight. There were to be no exceptions. The same is true for the people of God today. Now to continue this message, the prospect of imminent blessing. Here is Dr. Cairns.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, you enter the life of heaven through death. And that should prepare us to understand that when you are entering into the life of blessing and of fullness, here in this world, it is through death. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in John 12:24. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now the Savior was speaking of His own death and the fruit that would come through His death. But in so speaking, He also establishes a principle that's always true. Paul put it in these words, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31. I die daily. I die daily. Later on in verse 36 he says, thou fool. If you think it can be done any other way, thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened unless it die. Now that's the great spiritual truth. And that's the real reason why so many Christians are not living in the blessing. Why they are not enjoying Christ to the level they ought. That's why we are not thrilled with the resurrection power. Because resurrection power and blessing is always preceded by death. If ye then, says Paul in Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Why? For ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Death. There is a dying daily. There is a dying to the flesh. There is a death to self. To self-ambition, to self-promotion, to self-love, yes, to self-love. In this day, I emphasize that. We are living to see the perversion of the gospel in so-called Christian churches, where the gospel of self-esteem and self-love has taken the place of the gospel of the cross. It is death to self that leads to the fullness of the Savior. And that's the only way. Death to the sin and the lust. Death to the desire of the flesh. Death in Scripture is crucifixion. First of all, that's not something that the flesh desires. Second, it's not something a man can do to himself. You ever think of crucifixion? You can't crucify yourself. It's impossible. Now we must die. But all this is where the power and the operation of the Spirit of God comes in as we live in union and fellowship with Christ. That's how we die. It's knowing His cross. It's making His cross our cross. So that we take up that cross daily and follow Him. That's the mark of a disciple. You can't be a disciple without a cross. You can't be a Christian without a cross. I think it was Tertullian, the great defender of first the doctrine of the Trinity and other great biblical truths in the face of tremendous opposition. To be a Christian is to be a crucified one. To be a Christian is to be a crucified one. He was playing on the similarity, the surface similarity of the words he wrote in Latin. Christianus crucianus est. A Christian is always crucified. How do you get into Canaan? You always have to cross Jordan. Never let us forget it. Death to self. Dying more and more unto sin. Making not provision for the flesh. Oh, it's easy. It is easy in a moment when there is no battle to say, I decide against that, I cut off that. But when the battle's at its hottest, when the temptation's at its strongest, when the devil's at his subtlest, that's the time for death to self. And the cutting off of that sin or shameful lust. How do you get into Canaan? You prepare by spiritual feasting. Prepare victuals. And then you cross Jordan. And I don't want to anticipate anything that comes later in the book, but let me tell you, here's the beauty of it. All I have been saying sounds so very hard, and yet it's not. Here's the mercy of God. When you follow Christ into Jordan, He dries it up before you. He always makes a way to pass over. He always makes it plain for His people to get into blessing. He doesn't mean there to be any great mystery about this. Oh, that we would be willing fully to follow the Lord. In verse 12 to 15, he talks about shouldering our responsibilities. He's talking now to the 2.5 tribes. And he's telling them, you have your little possession here, but your brethren don't. Remember, your responsibility is to go with them and get them into theirs, just as you have entered into your possession. You see, our responsibility, let me spell it out without elaborating on it in any detail. Our responsibility is the full possession of the land. That is our priority. Our responsibility is personally to be fully involved. No opting out. Do I make that clear? Does the Scripture not make that clear? What a shambles we have turned the life of the Christian church into. What an utter shambles. There's not a church in America that's an exception to this rule that I know of. I've never heard a preacher in all my life whose church was an exception to this rule that I'm about to tell you. We have turned Christianity and Christian church work into a shambles. Why do I say that? Because every church I have ever heard of has a nucleus. They're the people who bear most of the burden. They're the people who are there every time the door is opened, and if they're not there, you realize something terrible, something big has happened. They're the people who will not miss a prayer meeting, whether it's a morning prayer meeting, an evening prayer meeting, an all-night prayer meeting, an all-day prayer meeting. They'll be there, if it's humanly possible. And then we have great galleries of spectators who are not unimportant. They come, they give, they cheer, they support. Good people who could be great people. But they have opted out. They have opted out. Joshua is telling the 2.5 tribes, you may think you can settle down where you are, you can't. Time forbids that I explain all that. If Israel didn't, by the way, if Israel didn't take over the land on the west bank of Jordan, then those 2.5 tribes on the east bank wouldn't have lasted a generation. That have been wiped out in short order. There's no way. None of us is sufficient to himself. And he's telling them, look, you have a responsibility to be involved. What does it take for the whole blessing of God, for the whole people of God? Take sacrifice. These were big sacrifices. Leave your wives and children. I've often wondered why they didn't say, but if we take our army, where are the defenses? Well, there is a sacrifice here. You make the necessary sacrifice, and most of all, you remember your former vows. That is a very serious thing. There are people in this church this morning. 10 years ago, you vowed to God what you would be, and you've conveniently forgotten it. Maybe 20 years ago, you vowed to God what you were going to be, what you were going to do, how faithful you would seek to be in His service. But that's all receded into the background. My friend, the Lord does not forget that vow. And He's saying to you, remember your former vows. Shoulder your responsibility. And then render full obedience to God through His word. Verse 16 says, they answered Joshua, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. What an undertaking. Those 2.5 tribes made this undertaking in the full light of their own impending separation from their families, in the full light of upcoming battles. Now here's the attitude of true believers. They come to the Lord and say, whatsoever thou commandest us, we will do. Wheresoever thou sendest us, we will go. For you and me this morning, if we're saved, the question is, what does the Lord require of me? It's always easy to say what the Lord requires of the church, what the Lord wants the church or somebody else to do. But what does the Lord require of me? How would the Lord have me to storm the strongholds of sin and Satan? What would the Lord have me to do? Now there's a duty that's common to us all, but there's a duty that's peculiar to each of us. As soon as Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, Acts 9 and 6, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord Jesus said, arise, go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. What wilt thou have me to do?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.